Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46, a familiar passage of Scripture. And you pray for us as we do our best to mind the Lord tonight. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. Don't you like that? And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Before I begin, I just want to say boo on the devil. Sunday, I could not speak. Since the third week of July, I've been unable to almost preach because my voice has been damaged, I guess, by the enemy. He tried to choke me. But praise God, I got a hold of God. Got a hold of God. People have been praying for me. I've gotten cards from Sunday school people, and then a dear couple at our church felt led to lay hands on me, so they did that last night. And I'm telling you what, our pastor preached, and I'll get into the message here directly. I just want to thank the Lord. Our pastor preached a few weeks ago that sometimes things aren't sicknesses, they're attacks of the enemy. And the way I felt when I was preaching was like somebody's hands were around my neck choking me as I was preaching. So I stopped asking the Lord to heal me. I started rebuking the devil in Jesus' name. When I woke up today, I wrote, "Woo, hallelujah." I drove down the road singing to the top of my voice. I did a sound check before church singing to the top of my voice. It is fully restored, 100% better than it was. I'm telling you what, God is still able. He's still able. He's still able. He can. He can. He can. He can. Hallelujah. Well, medical infirmities in Jesus' time required miracles because there was very little medicine. They had physicians, of course we know that from Scripture, but they weren't physicians like we have today. Medicine was very limited, and if you had anything serious at all with you, they basically isolated you and set you in certain places. Why? Because just like today, society is very cruel to people that have something wrong with them. And that's the way it was in Bible's time. But that's why the New Testament, I believe, is filled with so many miracles. Because really, miracles only happen when we run out of options. And our infirmity and our sickness basically becomes an opportunity for God to do something for us. He will not do for you what you can do for yourself. It's senseless to ask God for miracles when you can do them yourself. God will not brush my teeth every morning because I can do that for myself. But, I guarantee when you have done all you can do, that's when God steps in and takes what you cannot do and does the impossible. In Bible times, sick people were pushed into areas with other people with the same problems because pain knows pain. That's why you have so many groups today that deal with certain things, and they come together with the same infirmity or same sicknesses or same circumstances, because people that know what you're going through know how to relate to you better. And so the problem is that when you do have things that won't go away, when you do have problems that you have to live with, then you have to learn how to exist. You have to adjust your life. You have to create a system that adjusts to what the problem that you have in your life. That's the way it was with blind Bartimaeus. His dreams and hopes, listen, were hindered by his limitations. He had one thing in his life that he could not fix. And he had to adjust his entire life to that one problem. Every day of his life, he woke up focusing on what he did not have and what he could not do. Every day he woke up thinking, I can't do this because I'm blind. I can't provide for myself because I'm blind. I can't have this. I can't do that. I can't because I'm blind. And so one day he decided, I don't always believe that he was a beggar. I believe that he became a beggar. I believe he became a beggar. I don't believe he got up one day as a child and told his mom and dad, saying, you know what, mom and dad, I want to be a beggar when I grow up. No one has that vision. No one has plan for your life. But sometimes we don't choose the circumstances. The circumstances sometimes choose us. And the reason I believe that Bartimaeus was not intended to be a beggar his entire life is because the fact that his name was mentioned in the Bible. Many times people of low social class, their names were not mentioned. Like, how many of you know the name of the woman at the well? You don't know. How many of you know the name of the woman with the issue of blood? You don't know that. There's other people that were healed that they remain nameless because maybe their social status. But here, Mark specifically mentions this man. His name is Bartimaeus. And then it goes on to say where he came from, his lineage, the son of Timaeus. And the reason I believe that Bartimaeus wasn't always meant to be a beggar is because his dad's name, Timaeus, means highly prized. And I don't believe for one instance that being a beggar he didn't determine in his life, rather, to be a beggar. He didn't set out to be a beggar. I don't believe he sat down for one day and said, you know what, I always want to be like this. But because he was blind, he sat by the highway side begging. Maybe down deep inside one day, he thought, you know, this isn't really me. I'm not satisfied with this, but because of the problem I have, I'll just sit here and beg. What has the devil brought in your life that has hindered your limitations and your dreams and your hopes? What is it that has happened in your life that you didn't wake up one day and say, you know, I want to be like this? What is it that has gotten in the way of what God has intended for your life? And because of that, you're sitting by the highway side begging. And see, every day, as I mentioned, he focused on what he did not have. But for some reason, on this particular day, something changed in his life. His focus changed. He stopped looking at what he did not have, and he started looking at what he did have. Because see, listen folks, God will not use what you don't have to perform a miracle. He always uses what you do have. He'll take what you have left over and do the impossible with it. He takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeds 5,000. He takes what you have. He takes a withered hand and makes it whole. He takes what you have left over, thank God, and performs a miracle. Hallelujah. He began to focus on what he did have. See, because Satan is really good about pointing out what we don't have and what we cannot do. He's really good at that, especially when you're young in the ministry and when you're a young man going into the ministry. He'll say, well, you're too young to do that. Yeah, he will. And he'll say, well, you're too old to do this. You're too old to go visit people. You're too old to do that. And he'll make us focus on what we cannot do and what we don't have. But listen today, our miracle is not going to come from us focusing on what we don't have and all the negativity of life. No, God will use what we have left over and do the impossible with it. He began to focus on what he had. And he, down deep inside, he thought to himself, you know, if I sit here, I'm going to die. I've got to have some courage. I've got to start making some noise.
So that's exactly what he did.
See, the Bible says in our text that Jesus was passing by. I'm getting to the main point of the sermon. You just hang with me just a little bit more. He was passing by. Listen, Jesus did not come to Bartimaeus. He passed by. Jesus did not start this miracle. He did not start this miracle. Listen, sometimes He doesn't come the way you think He's going to come. Sometimes He tarries 4 days. Sometimes He does things a little bit differently. Sometimes He goes out of His way to go to Samaria to talk to one woman. Sometimes He goes through Jericho and stops and talks to a man in a sycamore tree. Sometimes God doesn't always show up the way you think He'll show up. But I guarantee this, even though He may not come like you think He may come, I guarantee that He will pass by. He will pass by. That's why it's very, very important, because we only have just a little bit of time in order for us to get our miracle. Listen, if Bartimaeus would have deliberated, if Bartimaeus would have thought about it too long, he would have missed what God had for his life. That's why you have to act on when Jesus is passing by, because He may not pass by again. If He wouldn't have spoke up, if He wouldn't have began to make some noise, He would have been stuck in His problem. And some of you tonight, you are sitting by the highway side. You're begging. Your life wasn't intended to be like it is now. And listen, Jesus is passing by Willisburg, Ohio tonight. He might not come to where you're at, but it's up to us in this brief moment of time to start making some noise and say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. But see, this is what I want to center in on tonight. Bartimaeus used what he had to get his miracle. That's the title of my message. Sometimes you got to use what you have. So if we look at this a little bit more closely, what did Bartimaeus have? First of all, he had facts. He had facts. You say, what are the facts? The facts was that he had a mind. Facts was that he knew who Jesus was. Points 1 and 2 kind of go together because they intertwine. But he knew who Jesus was. You say, Brian, how did he know who Jesus was? I'm so glad you asked. He knew who Jesus was because he called him by name. He didn't say Master. He didn't say Lord. He called him by his messianic name. Jesus, thou Son of David. You know when your mama calls you by your full name? You know something's about ready to happen. I mean, I could go on. And Mom, Brian. Brian. And then it goes to two names. Brian Bear. Brian Bear. And then, when I didn't, Brian Mark Bear, and I knew it. I might as well just go ahead and lean over and get the whipping, because it was going to happen. When the full name came, business was about ready to be picked up. And so that's the way it was here. Bartimaeus said, Jesus, thou Son of David. His messianic name. That means he knew who Jesus was. He had facts. Secondly, this goes intertwined. He had faith. How do you know he had faith? Because of those words when he said, and when he heard. Satan isn't as smart as what he thinks he is. He took his eyes, but he should have took his ears. He should have took his ears. Because he heard, he had faith. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He should have took his ears. He should have took his ears. And so faith without works is dead. He knew who Jesus was. This wasn't the first miracle that Jesus performed. Obviously, Bartimaeus had heard that this man had turned water into wine, that this man had healed people before. And he said, you know what? If he'd done it for them, thank God he can do it for me. I'm not going to sit here and die. I've got to do something. Got to do something. My life isn't always supposed to be like this. I'm in this, but I'm not of this. If I don't do something right now, I'm going to die in this situation. And listen tonight, folks. Either you sit here and die, or you need to start making some noise. Jesus is passing by, and it's time for you to stop sitting there by the highway side begging. God has got so much more for you. God has got greater plans for you. Stop sitting by the highway side and cry out to Jesus. Said, Jesus, now Son of David, he started making some noise. Listen, you know what? You will never speak against what you accept. You'll never speak against what you accept. He, up until this time, he had accepted the fact that he was blind. But because Jesus was there, he said, you know what? I'm going to speak against this blindness because I don't accept it in Jesus' name. And if you don't accept what the devil's trying to throw at you, thank God Jesus can do something about it. And so he called out his name, Jesus, thou Son of David. Do you realize this was the first public profession of Jesus Christ? There was a private confession in Mark chapter 8 when Peter looked at him and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But in public, this was the first time a blind man that had not seen before could see more clearly than everybody else standing around him. He knew who Jesus was. He called him by name and he publicly professed him as Lord and Savior. He had facts. He had faith, but he had a fight on his hands. Once he started speaking up for Jesus, once he started making some noise, people got mad at him. Tried to shut him up. Said, hold your peace. In our modern language, be quiet. Hush up. He don't need to hear you. You're a blind beggar. What have you got to offer him anyway? See, because any time that you do something out of the routine that other people think you should be in, they start getting mad. And they'll try to shut you up. I mean, can I just park here just for 1 second? I'm getting tired. It's wearisome to me. As a child of God, that out in the world, I can act like an idiot. And no one says anything to me. But anytime I start speaking up for Jesus, anytime I start standing against abortion, homosexuality, and living together outside of the bounds of man, anytime you speak up for what is right and what is true and what is out of the Bible, then people start getting mad. And I'm kind of tired of it. Kind of tired of it. But it's not sinners that's getting mad. Hey, I expect them to get mad because they're only doing what sinners are supposed to do. Of course they think we're crazy. I think they're crazy. But they think I'm crazy. So we're all good. We can agree to disagree. But the people that are getting the most upset is so-called Christians. For those of you that are from Rubyville Church, and this is not bragging, please do not take it as a brag. I'm just telling you what is happening at Rubyville Community Church. God has taken us to a whole new level. He has. I'm telling you, higher heights, deeper depths, whatever you want to call it, sanctified, set apart, consecrated, filled with the Holy Ghost. And are you scared of the Holy Ghost? No, we ain't scared of it. No, hey, we're taking it in. People are running. People are shouting. I know it's not all in that, but it's a large part of it. And people are getting free. They're getting out of bondage. And you know what? People that are sitting right in the pews, they're getting mad. And they're leaving. And they're calling us stupid and ignorant. Barnabas, you're stupid. What does Jesus need with you anyway? Shut up. Be quiet. Rubyville, just be quiet. Just sit up there and look pretty and don't do anything for the community. Don't do anything for God. Don't try to get people saved. Christian Baptist, just sit there. Just sit there. Don't offer to the world the holiness that you have. Don't offer to the world the old time shouting that used to run in these aisles. Don't offer up your building to a ministry to come in and have camp meeting. Just be quiet. Oh. But thank God. Bartimaeus, he had every right to sit where he was at and just, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cause a disruption. But no, the Bible says, he cried the more. He cried the more. He cried the more. Jesus! So, all you naysayers and all you haters of people that shout, guess what? Woo! I ain't shutting up. I ain't hushing up. God's been too good to me for me just to sit down and be quiet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. I'm going to make some noise. I'm going to make some noise. Woo! Glory! I'm going to make some noise. You know why? Because there's something about doing something again that releases the supernatural power of God. There's something about doing something the second time that releases the supernatural power of God. I felt that. Too many of us stop way too short of our miracle. We'll raise our hand one time and that's it. You know what you need to do? Woo! It gets easier. But he cried, yeah, do it again. Check again. Is the cloud there? You sang about it. Is the cloud there? Go back and check again. Keep shouting. Keep praising. Keep praying. There's something about doing it over again that shows God you mean business and that you want a miracle. Don't stop. He had a fight. He had a fight on his hands. But thank God he had favor. You know how he had favor? Because Jesus stood still. You know why? Because just like his mama, he called him by his full name. And he said, wait a minute. I've never been called that before. He's never seen me. How does he know who I am? And here's what I love about it. Jesus, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, who knew the beginning of days or end of life, commands him to be called. In the natural world, blind Bartimaeus would have never gotten that close to a priest. He would not even have been allowed into the temple. But Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. And he got a heavenly invitation to enter into the presence of God. And when Jesus said, go get him, bring him to me. The same ones that were saying, shut up. We're going, be of good comfort. Here's what the Lord showed me about this. You hang on right here. The ones that tried to shut him up and hated him were the very ones God used to bring it to him. God will make your enemies your footstool. The very doctor that said there's no hope for you, there's no cure for your cancer, you've only got 6 months to live, will be the very one that gives you the correct dosage for you to keep living and be healed. And he'll look back and say, you're a miracle. I don't have no explanation. I love it when the doctors are just dumbfounded and say, well, we can't explain. Of course you can't explain. You can't explain a miracle. He used his enemies to bring the miracle to pass. So he had faith. He had facts. He had a fight on his hands. He had favor. But there was the familiar that he had to deal with. Listen closely. Blind people live in the familiar. They create their own comfort zone. Bartimaeus had lived in the familiar. He created an environment that he got used to. He knew that his cup was over here. He knew that he was sitting beside this person. And Jesus said, "Come to me." Can you imagine the fear of a blind person going out of the comfort zone, going into new areas that they had never been before? Can you imagine the fear in his life? The fear at that very moment when Jesus said, "Come to me," and he had to step out of his comfort zone. And he could have, at that very moment, said, "I can't. I'm satisfied with being a beggar." Some of you tonight have created this world that you live in, where you've got God in a box, you're in a box, and you've created this little comfort zone. And God says, "I've got so much more for you. I've got miracles waiting to happen." Do you realize some of you are just one step away from getting the greatest miracle you've ever experienced in your life? But the Bible says here's what he had to do. And he, casting away his garment. This was more than just a coat. This garment was his comfort zone. This garment was his life. This garment was his past. In fact, the garment was his identity. That's how you identified people in those days. They wore certain types of garments, and beggars wore certain types of garments. And in order to get to Jesus, he had to be willing to cast away his past. He had to be willing to lay down his life. He had to be willing to get out of his comfort zone. And he had to be willing to lay down his identity to come to Jesus. Some of you tonight are holding on to a coat. And you're bound. And you'll never ever get free unless you're willing to cast it away and come to Jesus. Your comfort zone, your familiar, your past, your life, your identity. And he cast it away. And he came to Jesus. He said yes to the call and no to the coat. And he came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him an obvious question with an obvious answer. "What do you want me to do?" Now, when he does that, he's trying to get us to look at ourselves. And what I found interesting about this and what the Lord revealed to me as I was reading the scripture, other blind men that Jesus healed and other people in the Bible, Jesus touched them. One blind man in particular, he took mud and put it on his eyeballs and said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Another one, he spit in his eyes. Another one, he would touch this. He touched the man that the hand was withered. But blind Bartimaeus, Jesus never touched him. All he said was, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received it. Jesus did not touch him. He did not touch him. But listen, he didn't have to touch him. He didn't have to touch him. You know why? Because he said, "Thy faith." "Thy faith hath made thee whole." He didn't have to touch him because Bartimaeus' faith was all that was required for the miracle to happen. And some of you are waiting on how your grandma was healed, or how your grandpa was healed, or how your mom and dad was healed for you to get your miracle. Jesus may not have to do it the way He did it for them, but all you have to have is faith, and He's able. All He has to do is speak the word, and it shall be done. He had faith. His faith was responsible for the miracle, and immediately he received his sight. He got out of the familiar and got his miracle. But then there's one more thing that he had. He had a final test. Final test. Just give me 2 more minutes. He said, "Go thy way. Go thy way. Go thy way. Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." I've read this and heard it and read it and read it and read it, and one day it just boom. Here it was. He didn't go his way. Bartimaeus didn't go his way. Jesus said, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." But Bartimaeus did not go his way. The Bible says, immediately he received his sight. Do you believe that if Bartimaeus would have turned and walked away, he would have still been healed? Yes, I believe it. Because Jesus said it. But Bartimaeus did not go his way. The Bible says he followed Jesus in the way. He did not go his way. He said, "I'm not just satisfied with the healing. I got to have the healer." Woo! Why are you serving God tonight? Some of you are serving God for the wrong reasons. You're serving God for Him to have your problems solved. You're serving God for Him to move your mountains. You're serving God for you to find someone to marry. You're serving God for you to get a job. You're serving one to try to save your marriage. You're serving God for to be healed. But listen, that's not why you serve God. Those are blessings. You've got to go beyond going your way. And you've got to start following Jesus. Now listen, think about this. If Bartimaeus was not destined to be blind, if Bartimaeus had something good in his life, don't you think he was probably a young man? Don't you think he had many years ahead of him that he could have went back and got a job and got a family and provided for his life? That was his way. But no, he said, "I'm willing to forsake all and follow Jesus." Oh man, some of you are serving God for the blessings, and you know what? It makes me sick because you're using God like a spare tire, and He's not a spare tire. You have to be willing to say, "I want Jesus more than anything in this world. If He never blesses me again, if He doesn't heal me of cancer, if He doesn't save my marriage, if something doesn't happen, you've got to be willing to say, I want You, Lord, more than anything." You've got to be willing to follow Jesus. And imagine what Bartimaeus would have missed if he would have went his way. Undoubtedly, he was part of the ones that followed Jesus to Calvary's cross. Undoubtedly, he was there with the other disciples when they came back and said, "He is risen. Come and see the place where He lay." And undoubtedly, he was there with the 500 that watched Him ascend into heaven. And say, "This same Jesus that you see coming again, that you see going away, shall come again in like manner." Think about all he would have missed if he would have went his way. But he said, "I'm not satisfied with just to be able to see. I got to have Jesus." Can you imagine? As maybe, and this is my thinking. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And Bartimaeus took a step and, maybe he turned and said, no. Where are you going? Where are you going? I think I'll just go where you're going. And I know this song wasn't around then, but maybe he just reared back and just started singing, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. That's the question. Would you rather have Jesus?